جانم حسین، جانم حسین، جانم حسین، جانم حسین، جانم حسین، جانم حسین، جانم.
سلام ای باب رحمت باب جنت، سلام ای باب رحمت باب جنت، سلام ای رهبر.
الرحمن الرحیم، اهدنا الصراط المستقیم، صراط الذین انعمت علیهم غیر المغضوب علیهم. This is salawat all together.
Allahumma
salli ala. For the love of 11th Imam, please say another salawat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. سيما بقية الله الأعظم حجة ابن الحسن أرواحنا وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. For the appearance of Imam Zaman, salawat. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم وظالميهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم، لعنة الدائمة الأبدية من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال مولانا حسن بن علي العسكري عليه الصلاة والسلام: أما من كان من الفقهاء صائنا لنفسه، حافظا لدينه، مخالفا لهواه، ومطيعا لأمر مولاه، فللعوام أن يقلدوا. صلوات. My condolences to all Mu'minin Mu'minat for this night, that is the night of a greatest tragedy in history, and condolences to Imam of the Age, as he is the mourner, especially during this night, as his direct father has been martyred and has become suppressed, and I extend my condolences to the leader of the time. Today in this majlis I would like to speak about shift of imamat towards the fuqahat and jurisprudence. When we look at Islam as a religion, there are two important weighty things that Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had left after him. And there are two different times. One is the time that it was the end of prophethood. That of course from the time of Prophet Adam, it continued up till the time of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And the people, they got used to with the prophethood, and then shifting the prophethood from prophets to the imamat, that was a greatest challenge for the Prophet, peace be upon him, as he had to establish in his time that prophethood is ending and another time is beginning, that is time of the imamat and khatm nubuwwat, and a seal of the prophets that had to be announced. And of course Prophet, peace be upon him, was introducing in his life, but it comes the time that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had asked from Prophet, peace be upon him, Ya ayyuhar rasul balligh ma unzila ilayk, you have to deliver what it's been sent towards you. وَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَةً, if you do not complete that message, that means you have not done anything regarding your prophethood. And وَاللَّهُ يَعْصُمُكْ مِنَ النَّاسِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. So that means there were many concerns in the mind of Prophet, peace be upon him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصُمُكْ مِنَ النَّاسِ, Allah will protect you and he will save you from the vicious plots of people. You have to announce, it is your duty. So that means shift of the Prophet to the imamat, that was not easy. And we can see in the history that how it becomes difficult for the people even accepting a system of imamat. That in the beginning, Aimma alayhim salam, they have suffered. And whole time of Aimma alayhim salam, they were completely suffering. Even recognition of this system, taking this system as established system, it took lots of time, that until the third Imam Abu Abdullah Al Hussein alayhi salatu was salam, as he sacrificed everything of his life that he can establish the concept of imamat. And that is how it became rooted within the communities. The people, they started following imamat, and it became rooted into the various parts of the world. And there, at time of 11th Imam and 10th Imam, Shia and Tashayyu and followers of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim until Qom and Mashhad, Khurasan, and various places of the world, they were spread. And there were many great scholars who were being existing. They had a close connection with Aimma alayhim salam in their time. But it becomes another difficult situation, that after imamat, establishing the institution of imamat, institution of tashayyu, that was another challenge. That challenge was faced by two of Aimma alayhim salam. Although it started from 8th Imam, that our Aimma alayhim salam, they started establishing those institutions. And even 6th Imam also introduced, and 5th Imam, they struggled and strived in their time, that they were introducing the institution of faqahat and ijtihad. But now it was time to shift that completely and make another system. The people, they can realize that they have to follow mujtahideen. You know, one of the things that you see sometimes, there are misguidance, and people, those who try to take benefits of Quran, and they start giving references from Quran and Hadith, and sometimes speakers and those who come on members, they also try to do some sort of ijtihad. Shia school is not a school that everybody can make an ijtihad. There are many concepts that have to come from authorities. Shia school has a significance, and that is the significance of ijtihad. That if you take that out, this institution of ijtihad, this school is not going to remain. Until now, if it is established, and until now, if we can see that it is on the strong foundation, that is because of this institution is alive. Otherwise, if it becomes the situation that anybody who speaks about anything from the member and people, they start analyzing on various points of the fiqh, that becomes chaos. And we see a group or those groups that are existing today, danger that we are facing in our communities, for example, groups that are called with the name of Alillahi, for example. There are many other groups that are being introduced only because when they turn their face from that foundation, that is the religious foundation of Islam. And sometimes you keep hearing a speaker speaks about, for example, that should we get involved into the politics today in this country, or for example, speaking about various important Islamic issues without having any background, without having any background of the Islamic knowledge, speaking about those sensitive issues within the communities. That is the reason that Aimma Alayhim Salam, they started making those foundations from very beginning of their time, especially our 10th Imam. He started appointing wokala in various parts of the world, and these wokala and attorneys of Aimma Alayhim Salam, their job was to establish this school and institution and read ahadith of Aimma Alayhim Salam for the people. Like you know, many people, those who go ziyarat of Shah Abdul Azim, this great personality was a faqih, a muhaddith, who narrated many ahadith, and had opportunity, you know, some of the companions and some of these great personalities had opportunity to live with many Aimma Alayhim Salam. See, Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, one of the personality that he had opportunity to see finally 5th Imam Muhammad ibn al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. So take from Prophet peace be upon him until 5th Imam, he had opportunity to be with every Imam and every Masoom. How great must be this personality. Similarly is the personality of Shah Abdul Azim, who had opportunity to live with at least 5 Aimma Alayhim Salam, attending, being with them, narrating ahadith from them. You know, when you go to the ziyarat at that time, we need to understand and realize whom we are making this ziyarat and whom we are saying salam to. In the time of our 11th Imam, there are some of personalities, those who are being popular or those who are being closest to the Imam in Qum. For example, personality of Ali ibn Babuway Qumi. He was narrator of ahadith. And he was trustworthy personality before our 11th Imam. This Qum that we see today, it's not established today. It is a city that was blessed by Aimma Alayhim Salam in their time. And they started making that foundation to make the city as an established city. As it's been said, Qum Ushu Ali Muhammad. Qum is the house of Ahlul Bayt Alayhim Salam. It is a house of Ahlul Bayt Alayhim Salam. Ushu Ali Muhammad. A nest for Ali Muhammad. And today, today you can see that
it has become in real sense house of Ahlul Bayt Ramusalam. That when somebody goes over there, feels peace, and it has become a center to spread the message of Ahlul Bayt Ramusalam in all over the world. It has become source of inspiration. It has become source of revolutions in the world. That even powers today and countries today, they look at this city, that what is going to happen. Any incident and in any event that takes place, then they keep looking at this institution, that what is going to be replied from there. And it becomes a point of leadership. As I've said in the past, that Shia today and school of thought of Ahlul Bayt Ramusalam today has become a school that is leading school for the communities in the world. It is leading school. There is no leadership. Only leadership that exists today in the world, that is the leadership of the followers of Ahlul Bayt Ramusalam. This seed was put with the personality of our 10th and 11th Imam. Imam Askari alayhi salatu wassalam. Also another companion that was also been trustworthy personality. I'm speaking about today about the personality, those who were being sometimes students of Imam alayhi salatu wassalam, or narrators of many ahadith. And trustworthy personalities. And tomorrow, inshallah, if time allowed, I'll speak about the special appointees and naibin of our 12th Imam, Imam Zaman, Ajrallahu Farajahu Sharif. Second personality, it's Ahmad ibn Ishaq Ash'ari Qumi. And all these personalities are buried in Qum. You know, Qum. And its importance when somebody likes to just see, although the personality of Hazrat Masuma, that is the sister of an Imam and sister of an infallible personality, and she is the highest in the rank, that she is called as Masuma. But it's not only Masuma, but this Masuma is surrounded by awliya, by mujtahideen, by maraje, by shuhada and martyrs. That his shrine, it becomes like a place where ulama, they wish to be buried in this place, as haram of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. That grave closest to Amirul Mu'mineen, that was called Wadi Salam, a valley of the peace. The people, they used to say in their will that if I can be buried over there. But for the scholars and ulama, our great mujtahideen, another valley of the peace that became valley of the peace, that is Haram Masuma. And you find, for example, Shaheed Mutahri Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi, Allama Tabatabai, and many other great ulama like Ayatullah Brojerdi, that is buried around this haram. That is how this haram, it becomes a very special place, center for the light in this world. That is why, you know, it becomes this city today a very blissful city. There are many ulama, they are being trained from there. It becomes source of knowledge. Because of the blessings of those great scholars, those who are being connected with Aimma alayhi salam. Similarly, another personality that was closest to Imam alayhi salam, and most of time he lived with Imam, and when you read history of our 11th Imam, you find that a personality, many reports are being narrated from this personality, that is Abu Hashim Dawood ibn al-Qasim Ja'fari. Abu Hashim Ja'fari. He was also a personality that had taken many benefits from Imam alayhi salatu wasalam and lived with Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, and has been able to take many opportunities in the time of Aimma alayhi salam. Another name that we see as a student of Imam, that is Abdullah ibn Ja'far Himyari. So Imam al-Islam, what he was trying to do, that he was establishing a foundation that people, they can be connected with these personalities and make a foundation that a 12th Imam can also make appointees and Naibin. The messages that were being spread, for example, at the time of Aimma alayhi salam, these were being spread by these personalities. That Aimma alayhi salam, they used to write the letters sometimes and give their commandments. Even some of hadith, when you read, you find that they said, huwa thiqatuna, for example, or yaduna yaduhu, kalamuna kalamuhu, huwa thiqatuna. What's the meaning of that? That our speech is his speech, or his speech is our speech. Whatever he says, it is what we say. So you see, sometimes personalities become such trustworthy before Aimma alayhi salam that they start trusting, that they say that our speech is their speech. Whatever we say, our ulama, they say like that. So that is the reason that today in history and today in this world, we can see that school has become established school. The other schools are misguided. From every masjid you can hear a fatwa. From every mufti you can hear something. But this is not a school that everybody can speak. Everybody can give his view. Everybody can start guiding people. It is not based on the speakers. It is not based on those ulama, those who become on the podium sometimes. It is based on those scholars who spend at least 30 years, 40 years reading ahadith of Aimma alayhi salam. So what is the benefit of that? What is the benefit of this ijtihad and faqahat? Benefit has been that school of thought of Imamat has shifted completely to an institution. Aimma alayhi salam, they changed that as institution. It's not just a school. It is an institution that gives the people clear guidance. It is not a school that everybody can analyze on that. Unfortunately, this Akhbari group, for example, sometimes I was asked question that, you know, being involved in this country, for example, in politics, and giving example of Imam Rida sometimes, and giving examples of the time of Aimma alayhi salam, or sometime giving example of Hazrat Yusuf. See, Hazrat Yusuf, he was being involved in the politics, that is why we need to be involved in the politics. So sometimes, you know, when these kind of evidences are being given, what it means? It means that somebody likes to do ijtihad, sitting on the member without any prior knowledge, but giving fatwas. It's like a fatwa. When somebody says that you need to be involved in politics because Hazrat Yusuf was involved in the politics, because, for example, Hazrat Imam Riza alayhi salatu wasalam was involved in the politics, for example. Can we make those examples as a reason and evidence that I should be involved in the politics as well? Of course not. Because it's not me that I'm going to make the law. It's not a scholar or it's not a speaker that is going to make a law. It is a school, an institution that is based in the time of Aimma alayhi salam. Hazrat Yusuf was Waliullah. He was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew in what circumstances he has to be involved and in what circumstances he should not be. Who has to be authority to decide about that? Or when we speak about Imam Rida, accepting as to be deputy. So can I say that because Imam Rida was deputy, I should go and be involved with the White House and become deputy of Obama? Can I say that? Is that right? Is that the right decision? No, of course not. I don't have that authority. This authority is in the hands of those who are being appointed by Aimma alayhi salam. The reason that Aimma alayhi salam, they were establishing this institution, that everybody should not give their views. Views are fiqh, and actions that have to come, that has to come from the original authority, those who are trustworthy of Aimma alayhi salam. So this shift started in the time of our 11th Imam. Although he has become in the circumstances, for example, living in Samira, he was disconnected from the community. And they tried to keep him completely isolated, that nobody can speak with him. Nobody can have any relation with him. That is why they were bringing Aimma alayhi salam in the capital, that he can live under the armed forces. Samira was the city that was city of armed forces. And he was living in a completely closed, cameras were being set on this personality, that who is meeting with Imam, who has any relation. But at the same time, Aimma alayhi salam, they have been able to keep their connection with the personalities. So what were the qualities of those personalities who had opportunity to be connected with Aimma alayhi salam? I would like to just say a few qualities of these appointees of Aimma alayhi salam. Please say salawat. First, a very important quality that Aimma alayhi salam they would see, and these fuqaha and naibin of Aimma alayhi salam, that was taqiyya. Taqiyya was a principle that was established in the time of Aimma alayhi salam in order to protect the religion. So what it means, taqiyya? Sometimes taqiyya we use that for our person or personality. But taqiyya has various meanings, and especially when it comes to the religion, protection of amanat of Aimma alayhi salam, trusts of Aimma alayhi salam. Taqiyya at the time of our 11th Imam, and especially 12th Imam, it was in such a way that personality of Hussein ibn Rauh, who was one of the appointees of 12th Imam, his close one, he cursed upon Muawiyah. You know, sometimes today we try to take rules in our hands, and we think that whatever we do, we are free. We can do whatever we like. And then we start giving evidences from various ahadith. See that how strict is the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. One of the closest of Hussein ibn Rauh had cursed Muawiyah. And because he was living in taqiyya, his job was, he was asked by Imam alayhi salam that you need to have a close connection with other school of thought as well, and you don't give any reason in the hands of enemies of Islam. That people, they can be connected with the tree of Imamat. He asked him to leave. From time now, you cannot live with me. You are no more trustworthy for me. This was the strict ruling within these personalities. The quality that Aimma alayhi salam, they used to see, that if person is Amin, if he can protect the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. You know, sometimes today, there are many things have becoming a norm, that writing everything on WhatsApp, writing everything in Viber, for example, writing and sending everything through the emails. Can we do that? No, dear brothers and sisters. We are not allowed to do that. We have to be really careful that we don't give reasons to the hands of enemies, and we don't give secrets in the hands of enemies as well. There are some secrets that have to remain only for the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, or that has to be shared in special gatherings, not even public gatherings. You see, many of the Urafa, they write literature, they write books, But they don't give permission to everybody that they can go and publish that. No. It's not an awe. Because they're Amin. They have to protect that. They have to protect the assets of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. Assets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you protect your assets, for example, if you have any thing that is very important for you and it's worthiest for you, then you try to protect that, put that in bank. If there are documents, then you try to protect them. As for us, these documents become important. For Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam also, documents were important. Institution was important. Second quality that was being seen in these personalities, that was patience and steadfastness, being firm. They were strict followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that they were sabir, patient. Patience can be seen when somebody becomes in trials, in practical life. How steadfast they can be. If they are being asked not to be connected with us, then they are not going to come to us. If they are being asked not to say salam to us, they are going to follow that. If they are being asked that you have to keep those ahadith and don't share with anybody, then they are sabir, they are going to be patient. They try to keep religion and protect that. This is salawat. Another quality that was basirat of these personalities. That when you look at the hadith that Imam, our 11th Imam has said about fuqaha, that I've narrated and recited in the beginning. Imam says, Amma man kana min al fuqaha'i. When you see a faqih, a jurist, sa'inan li nafsihi, the one who can have a control on himself, that is the very first quality. Sa'inan li nafsihi, control on himself. If somebody does not have control in himself, how he's going to be able to control the community? Control is important. Hafizan lidinihi. He has to be the one that can save the religion. He has to be savior of the religion. If you see somebody, a faqih with these qualities, that can have a control on himself, and he's savior of the religion, then Imam said, مُخَالِفًا لِهَوَى. He's not the one who follows his own desires. MashaAllah. He says salawat. Sometimes I feel that, you know, we are going to recite our prayers with the music in the future. Because when you're praying, sometimes it starts ringing, various types of the songs, and then everybody has to hear. There's no choice. It's a Tawfiq Ijbari. That is called Tawfiq Ijbari. That opportunity that you don't have any choice about that. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's been said, مُخَالِفًا لِهَوَى, that he is against his own desires. The one who can control his desires, he's not going to speak with his desires, but he speaks what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. In the time of Saddam, I visited Iraq, and one of the ulama, he started speaking about the fatwa of leader, and he started analyzing. He said neighboring country, so this was the term that he was using, neighboring country, the faqih who has given this fatwa of Zanjeer Zani, that is not good. So you see, sometimes a person does not have basirat, where he is sitting, in what circumstance he is, what government is over there. Saddam is ruling the government. But he's sitting in the center of all over the world, and he's speaking like that. He should not be the one that speaks with desires. مُخَالِفًا لِهَوَى مُطِيعًا لِأَمْرِ مَوْلَى. If somebody is not muti, how he can be muta'? Is it easy that everybody starts following from somebody? Do you think that people are going to be obedient from somebody if he is not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not possible. If you see somebody, he has become muta', the people, they started obeying him, there is a significance that the person, he is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the signs. When we see a personality has become such a personality popular within the communities, and people, they started obeying his commandments. Why it's not happening from rest of presidents? Why this is not happening by many prime ministers? Many authorities, they came in this world, but people, they don't follow from them. People, they don't believe to follow from them. But how come that when a faqih with these qualities becomes as a ruler, at that time even children, they love with him, they start following? Imam said, when you see these qualities within a faqih, falil awam an yuqallidu, it is wajib for the people that they have to follow from him. So Aimar and Muslim, they have established these qualities and establish those conditions for the faqahat and faqih, that people, they can follow. And that was the challenge at the time of our 11th Imam that he faced in his life, and he established, and that is how we can see that foundation for the 12th Imam. As 12th Imam did not have time, he only spent a couple of times having connection with the people, but after that he went in occultation. There was shorter occultation, then there was longer occultation. The real foundation that was made by 11th Imam, the 12th Imam can be introduced. And after him, school and institution of Ijtihad can be introduced as well. As today we are gathered in this gathering, brothers and sisters, to say condolences to our 12th Imam. Today is the day when our 12th Imam has suffered. Let us today feel the pain of Imam Zaman. Feel the tragedy that our Imam has faced. But you know, brothers and sisters, Imam Zaman does not have only pain of one father, but he has pain of many forefathers. He is the one, when he recites Ziyarat-e-Nahiya, at that time he remembers the tragedy of Karbala. And when he says Salam upon Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, at that time he starts speaking about various parts of body of Aba Abdullah. When he remembers Karbala, at that time he says As-salamu ala al-a'da'i al-muqatta'at, my salam upon those pieces of the body that were remaining in Karbala. Then he says, As-salamu ala al-dima'i al-sa'ilat, my salam upon those blood that was shed in Karbala. You know, today our brother said that we are going to close our Azadari. I don't know that we can close Azadari of Ahlul Bayt Rehmus Salam. Yes, with every circumstances we have to change. And if there is time of happiness of Ahlul Bayt Rehmus Salam, we should be happy. If there is time of sadness of Ahlul Bayt, we should be sad. But look at the personality who had seen Karbala. His azadari never ended until the final day of his life. My salam upon Sayyid Sajjad, Ali ibn al-Husayn. And whenever he saw water, at that time he cried for Karbala. Whenever he saw somebody taking the body and a funeral, at that time he asked that, O people, did you give ghusl to the funeral? O people, have you given kafan to the body? O people, are you going to bury your deceased? And they used to say, Yabna Rasulullah, we are Muslim. Of course we give ghusl. Of course we give kafan. And then he used to say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. And Imam Zaman says, As-salamu ala dima'i sa'ilat. And you know, sometimes he remembers a tragedy. That tragedy was a tragedy that Imam Sajjad, he's remembered in all his life. He said, As-salamu ala nisa'i al-ariyat. My salam upon the ladies, their hijab was taken, their chadr was taken. Let us see what happened today in Samira again. You know, I'm alayhim salam, about them it's been said, Qutila man qutil, wa subiya man subi, wa uqsiya man uqsiya, wa jaral qawda'u lahum bima yurja alayhi. There were some those who got martyred, those who were being taken to the prison, and those who were being exiled, living in the city, from one city to the other city. Our 11th Imam is Ghareeb al-Ghuraba. Although we call, when we recite Ziyarat of 8th Imam, at that time we say, As-salamu alayka ya Ghareeb al-Ghuraba. But there's another Ghareeb al-Ghuraba, that is our 11th Imam, who was living in complete isolation, that even people they were not being asked to say salam to him. He was going through the streets of this Samira, the city that today still it remains Muslim. You know, brothers and sisters, one of the things that is painful, that Samira is still as Muslim. We have given many, many shuhada for this Samira today. Only to make this Samira free, many of those Zairin who have been able to go Najaf, those who have been given go to Karbala, they go Qazimain, but they cannot go Samira. Oh Samira, oh city of Samira, there was a time that my 11th Imam, he was being given poison. There was a time that my alone Imam, only Imam in Samira, that there was nobody with him, that he was suffering alone. When somebody does not have any family and he becomes alone and he is being given poison, he starts asking people, can you give me water, that he does not have. He is not being allowed to give anything, brothers and sisters. Our Imam is masmoom and mazloom and ghareebul ghuraba. And my condolences to Imam Zaman, azzamallah الله أجورنا وأجورك يا ابن رسول الله يا إمام زماننا. It is said when Imam got martyred, after that whole city of Samira, it changed to the city of the mourners. And the people, they came outside their houses and they started beating their chests and weeping for Imam Askari. And funeral of Imam Askari was taken with full honors. It was taken with the full honor. He was given ghusl and kafan, and he was buried in Samira. Although today today the city is under the suppressors. But at that time, our 11th Imam, he was being honored. But my salam upon Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu was salam. Sallallahu alayka ya Abu Abdullah. That your body was remaining for 3 days in Karbala, although Imam Zaman came in Samira and he performed, according to one of the narrations, he performed Salat Janaza on his father. But my Imam, Imam Zaman, Imam Zainul Abidin was looking at the body in Karbala. Then he started saying, how that is possible for me to leave Karbala by the body of my father and living in this battlefield of Karbala without ghusl and kafan. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalami yanqalibun bismika al-azim al-a'wam al-a'az al-ajal al-akram ya Allah. Say all together, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. إلهي وإمام العسكري عليه الصلاة والسلام. اللهم إني أسألك وأتوجه إليك بحسن ابن علي أيها العسكري يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها
ماتم حسین
سلام کعبه دل ها حسین جان سلام شمع ما فل ها حسین جانم
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جان حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم
سلام
Let's go.